vaccine against AIDS may be impossible to make and too dangerous to test.
If you take it and then a year goes by and everybody's fine, then you say, okay, that's good. Now let's give it to 500 people. And then a year goes by and everything's fine. You say, well, then now let's give it to thousands of people. And then you find out that it takes 12 years for all hell to break loose, and then what have you done?
The goal, Jimmy, is to get us to 70% of the adult population vaccinated by the 4th of July. But that doesn't mean we want to stop there.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
To prevent symptomatic disease, not necessarily to prevent infection.
And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up.
We're not sure at this point that the vaccine protects you against getting infected.
If you're vaccinated, you don't have a risk. And that's the reason why we say it's as simple as black and white.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
The very impressive efficacy, 94.5 and 95% of a vaccine, should motivate individual to realize that this is something you want to participate in.
I can tell you where I was when the CNN feed came that it was 95% effective, the vaccine. So many of us wanted to be hopeful. So many of us wanted to say, okay, this is our ticket out, right? Now we're done. So I think we had perhaps too little caution and too much optimism.
We know that in the rare event that people get infected after a vaccine, the resulting infection is more likely to have a lower viral load.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
You're vaccinated, you're safe. You're unvaccinated, you're at risk. Simple as that.
And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection.
You're vaccinated, you're safe.
This would not be the first time, if it happened, that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse.
What do you tell those folks who might be saying, well, I'm going to wait a few months before I get this one?
I would tell them I wish that the situation was not so critical so that they can have the luxury to think about it. but the situation is as deadly as it could be right now.
You have not yet had your shot. When do you plan to get it?
The sooner I can, I will. The only sensitivity here, Meg, is that I don't want to have an example that I'm cutting the line, that I am 59 years old, in good health, I'm not working in the front line. So my type is not recommended to get vaccination now.
People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
We strongly recommend that even if you have been infected, yeah, that you get vaccinated. Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Masks are protective.
I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals. But being a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low.
If you are vaccinated, if you are in an indoor setting, you should still wear a mask.
If you can't buy a mask of your own, the CDC says something as simple as a t-shirt or even a bandana can still work. Wearing this can keep others safe.
Don't wear a cloth mask. Cloth masks are little more than facial decorations.
Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
Even if you are vaccinated, you need to wear a mask in indoor public settings.
If you do not have these symptoms, you do not have to wear masks because there is no evidence that they protect people who are not sick.
What do you make of this trend here, demanding masks indoors whether you have the virus or not, whether you've been vaccinated or not?
Well, Neil, as you know, the general CDC guidelines still hold that you do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
Has anything negative been found?
Not at all, Mark. There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
And often there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
But the one thing historically people need to realize that even if there is some asymptomatic transmission, in all the history of respiratory-borne viruses of any type, asymptomatic transmission has never been the driver of outbreaks.
If a person is without symptoms and infected, that they need to be isolated for 5 days.
We have a number of reports from countries who are doing very detailed contact tracing. They're following asymptomatic cases, they're following contacts, and they're not finding secondary transmission onward. It's very rare.
So there were quite a lot of messages that I received overnight and that we received about making some clarifications to some points that I made yesterday at the press conference. We do know that some people who are asymptomatic or some people who don't have symptoms can transmit the virus on. And so what I was referring to yesterday in the press conference were a very few studies, some two or three studies.
We have a number of reports from countries who are doing very detailed contact tracing.
I use the phrase very rare. And I think that that's misunderstanding to state that asymptomatic transmission globally is very rare. What I was referring to was a subset of studies.
Very detailed contact tracing.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reversing itself again. Earlier this week, that agency quietly issued a new guideline to restrict COVID testing to people showing symptoms only. But that didn't last long.
Well, I'm not taking a test for the summer reason. I have no symptoms. I have not. I'm practicing pretty good social distancing.
But it's hard to.
But not everybody in the United States should take a test. I mean, I have no symptoms. There's no reason for me to take a test.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done.
There's all kinds of conspiracy theories, as you know, going around on the internet with social media about deliberate or accidental release, et cetera, et cetera.
I and so many of my colleagues are very much in favor of what the WHO said, that they want to go back again and take another look in there and see what was going on in that lab.
There's all kinds of conspiracy theories.
I still think the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory.
Thank you very much, Harvey. It's a great pleasure to be here with you this morning. What historically investigators have done is to actually create gain of function by making mutations, passage adaptation, or other newer genetic techniques such as reverse genetics and genetic reassortment. When we do that, often some phenotypes appear
and others disappear. But the bottom line is that gain and loss of function research is critical.
Government scientists like yourself who favor gain of function research.
I don't favor gain of function research in China. You are saying things that are not correct.
Gain and loss of function research is critical.
We are sorting out another about face from the CDC. KPIX5's Kit Doe says this time it has to do with how the virus spreads. Kit?
So for months, the CDC has been saying that coronavirus spreads mainly by the larger respiratory droplets that leave your mouth and then tend to fall to the ground very quickly within about 6 feet or so, and not the lighter aerosols that tend to float in the air and travel for much longer distances. Well, over the weekend, some major flip-flopping from the CDC again.
We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase.
Fauci later clarified he thinks the U.S. is out of the full-blown explosive pandemic phase. And then later he gave a rare clarification to his clarification, saying the pandemic is more controlled, but is by no means over.